Good morning. Let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. We're going to look at the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read the first two verses, and it starts off and it reads, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege that we can open thy word this morning and to speak thy word. Father, give us the meaning of everything that you have written for us this morning, Lord. Help us to understand. We know that you are our Savior who has loved us and gave your life for us upon the cross of God. We thank you for that. Be with me and the church this morning. In Jesus Christ's precious name we ask. Amen. So when we look at this passage here, and it starts off by saying, "and at this time." So the question for us to determine is, what time is this? And at this time. So we have to determine what this time is. I don't think even Daniel, who is the author of this book, knows what it is. You remember Daniel in the lion's den? I've just put that up just to show who Daniel is, as we all know the story. And Daniel was a captive in Babylon. He's probably about 85, 86 years of age by now. And he has read that the captivity, the 70-year captivity that is mentioned in the book of Jeremiah is coming to a close. And he's so excited. He's so excited. And so he's praying unto the Lord. And as he usually does three times a day, he was speaking about his sins, confessing his sins, the sins of Israel, and he was praying unto the Lord. And just as he was praying, the Lord sent an angel unto him. And let us turn to Daniel chapter 9, just a few pages. And we have looked at this. I'm just going to go through that very quickly. And starting from verse number 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And it reads, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. We have done this. We have looked at this. I'm just going to read because we need to know what time or what day that is or at that time. It is definitely not this time because it's not the present time. It's not something that is past. No, it is not. It is at that time. So it's a future. Remember, Daniel wrote this book sometime 550 BC, before Christ. And even now, that time has not come. So we need to know what time is that at that time. So here, God has revealed to him the description of the 70 weeks. And he says in verse number 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So the prophecy is 70 weeks are determined for thy people. That his people is the Jewish people. And remember, they are in Babylon. They're in captivity. And there's no one in Jerusalem and in Judea worth mentioning at the present time. And he says in verse number 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And we have mentioned before, these are 7 weeks of years. So this 7 weeks is 7 times 7 is 49 years. And 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So we have got two dates, two periods of time. Once the prince of Persia or the king of Persia signs the command that they can go back to Jerusalem, then the time or the clock starts ticking, and 49 years is determined for them to finish building the streets of Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem. So once after that, 62 weeks after that, so what we find is 62 weeks after that, there is another prophecy, and that prophecy can be seen here in verse 26. Let me read that. It says, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Let me stop there and say, when Daniel is writing that, he says 62 weeks plus the 7 weeks up to the 69th week. That is times seven gives us 483 years since the decree by the king of Persia. What will happen is Jesus will enter into the city of Jerusalem. That is the prophecy. Of course, Daniel is not anywhere there. He knows about it, and he's writing about it. So we know that Jesus, on the colt, he entered Jerusalem, and the people welcomed him, crying out, Hosanna, and welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. However, the people did not know. That same week, a few days after, he will be on the cross. He will be crucified. And here it says in verse 26, 62 weeks, that is 62 weeks plus 7, shall Messiah be cut off. Why? It says not for himself, not because of him. Jesus was not sent to the cross because of his problem or his sins, but he was sent there because of us. Because of us, and that's why he went to the cross. He went there to save us, to pardon us for our sins, pay for our sins. But we still haven't got to the meaning. It says, and at that time, these things that happened 7 years or 49 years plus 62 years, that has already happened. But this at that time has not happened. So where is that at that time? Let's look at the next verse, verse number 27. Verse number 27 reads, then he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now that 1 week means 7 years, weeks of years. And who is the he? And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who is the he? The he here is the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist that makes the covenant or a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. All we are talking about today is about Israel. This prophecy is about Israel. Even Daniel doesn't know about this prophecy, although he wrote it, because they had no clue what this Jesus had told them or God had told them. And it says, at that time. So he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. A peace treaty with Israel will be signed with Israel. But something happens. And the next verse, next part of the verse in 27, it says, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he will make it desolate. Very interesting that he says that there, because what here Daniel is saying, is there will be a peace treaty signed. It will be with Israel. And at the middle of the treaty, Antichrist will cancel that. So there is a seven-year treaty. The middle of 7 years is 3.5 years. He will cancel that. And he will set up the abomination of desolation, which means he'll set up an idol of himself and tell the people to worship him. Now, so this 1 week is the last week of this rulership that is going to happen on this earth as we know it. This will be the last 7 years and what we know as the tribulation period. And he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week. Now, how do we still know that this is the week? How do we know? Because all Daniel is saying is at that time. And so we know it's a future time. But how do we know that is? Look at chapter 12, verse 11. And it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Here we go. So we know right here in this chapter, he's talking about that this seven-year period of time or one-week period of time, in the middle of the week, the abomination of desolation will be set up. So now we confirm that at that time is the last 7 years as we know it of this world rulership here. Now, did Jesus mention anything about this? Did he give us a clue of anything like this? Let us look to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and to read from verse number 3, what was happening is they were sitting up on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to Jesus, and they were curious. They had something to ask Jesus. And their question is, tell us, Jesus, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Just like we are curious of these questions, they were curious. And so Jesus was there in person to answer this. Look at Jesus' answer in verse number 15. He says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by whom? By Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now, Jesus is telling us the same thing, that remember what Daniel, the prophet Daniel said, when the abomination of desolation standeth in the holy place, which means in the Jewish temple. When you see that, you know I am coming. Okay? Look at verse number 21. He has something else to say. And he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall. Now, Jesus knew that there was going to be a seven-year period. He knew all of those. And so he has coined the term the Great Tribulation. So tribulation is 7 years. We looked at that. And then the first half of the tribulation is called tribulation. But the second half is called the Great Tribulation. And that's when the problems all start happening. Now, let us go back to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Now we have determined at that time is the last 7 years, and that is the tribulation time. And then it says, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the people, for the children of thy people. Who is this Michael now? It says, shall Michael stand up, the great prince. So we have a clue that this is Michael and he's a great prince. Let's turn to the book of Jude. Book of Jude, and that's one chapter that it has. and verse 9. Book of Jude and verse 9. It reads, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. So here we know that this Michael is the archangel. This Michael is the archangel. And what did he do in Jude as we read it? He contended for the dead body of Moses. Who was Moses? He was another Jewish man. So what is Michael doing? He is standing up for Moses. And there was a competition between for the body of Moses. And he stood and he rebuked the devil. Now, when you look at these two people, Archangel Michael and the devil, they are at the same level of authority and power and all of those. Sometimes we get to thinking that the devil and Jesus were at the same level. It is not. There's no one that is equal to Jesus except the Trinity and not the devil. The devil and Michael, the archangels, they are what they are at the same level. So we see that Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. So Michael, Archangel Michael, is designated to protect, to support, and take care of the nation of Israel. And they have been doing it for a long time. I do not know exactly because the Bible doesn't tell us the period of time, but I would think that ever since there was a nation of Israel, Michael, Archangel Michael, has been taking care of those people. And then he goes on to say, and there shall be a time of trouble. I don't have to tell you. We are filled with news about what's happening in Israel. We know that Israel is going through trouble. They are going through a war with Hamas and now through Hezbollah and, of course, with the Houthis. And the main cause and supporters of all of these is Iran. And so we know that Israel, ever since there was a nation of Israel, they have had problems. They have been going through problems. And so what problems have they had? Let's go back to the time when they were slaves in Egypt, when they were in bondage. You see, they had a good life initially during the time of Joseph, and they had a good life at that time for several generations. But after that, what happened is the Pharaoh, a new Pharaoh, came. And he did not give them so much importance. And also because they were worried, because these Jews, they multiplied into almost a million people. So he was worried. So he made them slaves of Egypt. And then what happened? They cried unto the Lord. And the Lord God heard them. And we know the story, Moses and Aaron was sent to get them out of the land of Egypt. And we know they did. And they came into, crossed the Red Sea, came into the wilderness. And there we know that they sinned against God. They sinned against God. And so God kept them in that wilderness. And they were there for about 40 years before they could go in to the promised land, which is Canaan land. So we know that. Now, those Jews that were there in the wilderness, they didn't have a peaceful, cushy life. They had problems. They warred with the Amalekites. There were a group of people that did not give permission for the Jewish people to cross their land or right away to cross their land. And so there was battle there. Of course, the Israelites, the Jewish people won, and they went on and landed up in the promised land. When they entered the promised land, what did God tell the Jews? Do not keep anyone of the Canaanites alive. clean them all out. And do you know, they did not do that. They disobeyed God. They did not do that. And as a result of that, what happened? Today, the war that they're having with the Philistines, sorry, the Palestinians are the Philistines. The Philistines that we know of, they are today the Palestinians that are fighting against Israel just because they did not obey God's order at the time. And we know that the Israel had war with at least four nations during that time. We know Assyria attacked them and took the northern kingdom away. We know Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and took the southern kingdom a few hundred years after the northern kingdom was taken. And it is with them that Daniel and his friends and buddies were taken to Babylon. And so we see that such things were happening. And then we know Alexander the Great attacked, the Greek army attacked them. We also know the Roman army attacked them. And the final attack happened in 70 AD. And that prophecy is also included in the 70 weeks in verse number 26 of chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. So we find that there was a time of trouble, a time of trouble. But could there be any more trouble for the Israelites, the Jewish people, than what they are already suffering? Because here it says, and there shall be a trouble, a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. So at that time, what Daniel is talking about, it's going to be worse than what they have ever suffered. The Jews are still going to suffer more and more trouble. So let's just look at it quickly about them. So let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 8. During the time of Revelation, there is three judgments that will be going on. And the judgments will be the seal judgments first, that is shown in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And we will have the trumpet judgment that will be in Revelation chapter 8. And that's what we will look at today. And also the bowl judgment, which is going to be very severe. I'd like to read three or four verses of the trouble that the Jews have to face in the land, in this land, and we will see why Daniel was given this information to write that there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So we find in Daniel, Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded. This is the judgment, and God, Jesus Christ himself, is conducting this judgment from heaven. And it reads, the first angel sounded. Sounded means the trumpet. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. So we have hail, fire, and blood that was thrown down from heaven onto earth. And what happened? They were cast upon the earth, and it says the third part of the trees was burned up. A third of the trees. Say in this Louisville area, we are here in church. By the time we leave, if the third part of the trees of Louisville are burning up, there's not much chance we may be going home today. All right? And then it says, and all green grass was burnt up. All green grass. Another picture of one third of the trees and all green grass. You might have witnessed or seen on TV the fires engulfing California. And when the fires happen, what happened? The houses also get burnt, many of them. And so this is what that is going to happen. This is just one set of trumpet judgments that I'm just mentioning here. And that's why Daniel wrote, there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation of Israel. So verse seven, the first angel sounded, and one third of the trees were burning up, and all green grass were burning up. Let's look at verse number eight. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Very interesting as that is being said. Third part of the sea became blood. And then one third of the sea creatures, the fish, they died, and one third of the ships were destroyed. So we see a situation that we cannot even, not only can we not survive on land, we cannot even survive on water. That is the terrible nature of this trouble that they are going to face. Look at verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. So we say that a great star, and this star is called Wormwood. And one third of the rivers were filled with blood, and then the fountains of water was also all filled with blood. And this one here, they say the water became bitter. You know, we can drink bitter water, but we don't die. But in this case, we find that these people that were drinking the water, they died. So probably this bitter water had some poison, and that's what happened. And then we read the fourth angel. And the fourth angel, when it sounded, one third of the sun became dark, one third of the moon became dark, and one third of the stars became dark, and so one third of the world was dark. Can you imagine trying to fathom that and go through that? And that's why Daniel got this prophecy that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And what happens is when this trouble happens during the time of tribulation, the people, the Jewish people, and many others will call upon the Lord to save them. It's a frightening time. These are people that did not follow Christ during the time when they're able to, right now, during our time. And so we find that they call upon the Lord, and what does the Lord do? Look at the next part of the verse in verse 1. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, our Lord God is so gracious, so merciful. He cares for each one of us. He wants everybody to follow him, to obey him, because he wants to save everyone. Even at this last stage, he forgives them. He delivers them, and that's what he says. But it's only people that are found written in the book. Let's just, we do have a little bit more time. Let me just cover the second verse, and it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So there are two groups of people. One group of people will wake up that are dead, buried in the dust of the earth, and then they will wake up to everlasting life. And the other group are those that will wake up to shame, contempt, probably going to hell. So who are these people? Who are the ones that's buried that will wake up? So did Jesus say anything about this? Let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 10. John chapter 6 and verse 10. Sorry, John chapter 6 and verse number 40. It says, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus, while he was alive and while he was here on earth, he's telling his disciples and the people that are following him, telling him, if you believe in me, I will give you eternal life. And not only that, I will raise you up on the last day. So that is resurrection. And so he's saying here, what Jesus is saying is, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. But which group is this? Which group is this that Jesus is writing about, or Daniel is writing about? Now, let us look at how we can determine that. I've got some. Remember, Jesus died, and on the third day, he was resurrected, lived on this earth for 40 days, and then he ascended up into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. This verse here reads, it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. I'm going to talk the different resurrections. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus was the first one to be resurrected, and live and not die anymore. This is the first resurrection. Jesus is the first part of the first resurrection. There are a total of two resurrections. In the first resurrection, there are three parts. And this is the first part of the first resurrection. The second is us, the church group. Okay, we all the church group, all those that believe in Jesus Christ. And this is from 1 Thessalonians verse 4, 16 and 17. And it says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. So this is still the first resurrection, but the second part of the first resurrection. Okay? So this is the church that is being raised up. This is the, and we call this rapture, although that word is not found in the Bible. It's usually caught up, being taken up, and that's the word that is usually there. So this is the second part of the first resurrection. So this group here, what we are looking at verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. And so this has to be the two groups that are left, and the two groups that are left are the tribulation saints, because this time here, at that time, is the tribulation time. And so it has to be the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints. So they, those two groups, will be risen at the end of tribulation. So that is the third part of the first resurrection. And then we have got another group, the last group. And that says, the first group, of course, goes to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is the group of people ever since creation till the end of the millennial kingdom that have never accepted Christ as the Savior, never believed in God, and this is the proof that we risen for the great white throne judgment. And the books will be opened. Lord Jesus is responsible. Take care of this. And what we do, if their names are not found in the book, they will be cast into the lake of fire, which is hell. So that is what here Daniel is mentioning in this verse number 2. And many of them shall, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, where are we in this picture? Do we have to go through the tribulation? No. We will be raptured up or taken up when the Lord comes in the midst, and that will be before tribulation. So then why should we know about this? But the most important reason that we need to know is we have family members that still do not accept it or have not accepted Jesus as their Savior. They have not believed in Jesus Christ. And so we have a responsibility to know how serious this is, because if they have to go through tribulation, there's no guarantee they will make it. There's no guarantee that they will believe in Jesus at that time. In fact, they may be more angry with Jesus for the trouble that they're going through. So we have a responsibility to talk to them, speak to them, and help them to understand about Jesus Christ. So, of course, we are not the ones that bring about the conversion, the Holy Spirit is, but we have a responsibility for that. I'm sure many of us do have families that do not go to church, who do not believe in Jesus, and so that is our responsibility to talk to them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for the understanding that you've given to us, O Lord, from your word. Thank you for Daniel receiving this prophecy from thee, through an angel, and thank you for opening up this information for us, for our understanding, and help us to talk to people and tell them about Jesus Christ. Thank you once again for this morning. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you.